On this second Sunday of Advent, we focus on John the Baptist as an Advent figure. He figures prominently in the Gospel reading. And the first words of the first reading today are, "Comfort, give comfort to my people." And that prophecy was directed to Jerusalem. But in today's readings, we could say that we find three Jerusalems, figuratively for some. One is more important than the rest. The first Jerusalem is Jerusalem, the city that was the capital of the Israelite people. And at the time of Isaiah's prophecy that we read in the first reading, that city was in ruins because the Jews, God's chosen people, had been conquered and exiled by the Babylonians. They were living in Babylonia now, and Jerusalem was left in ruins. They had to rebuild it when they finally came back. And so the prophet is telling those exiles in Babylon that God has not forgotten about them. He will bring them home to Jerusalem. And he did bring them back. The second Jerusalem is a figurative one, the Jerusalem that's still to come. In the second reading, the letter from St. Peter, our attention is turned in that direction. He reminds us that Jesus will come again, bringing his kingdom to fulfillment and creating a new heaven and a new earth in which God will wipe away every tear. That's good news for all of us, isn't it? And looking forward to that gives us great comfort because it shows that our sufferings here on earth will be wiped away eventually. They have a purpose for us, but they won't last forever. And in today's gospel, we find the third Jerusalem. John the Baptist addresses his preaching to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the city, to individual people, we could also say, people like you and me. Because in God's perspective, every Christian soul is a sacred city. It's a holy Jerusalem. It's a temple of the Holy Spirit. And this is the most important Jerusalem, the everlasting Jerusalem, our final goal, our true home. The reason why God created us out of love was so that we could be with him forever in the next world, in the new Jerusalem. And this too brings us comfort because God hasn't forgotten about each one of us, each one of us. In our own minds, you know, it's hard to fathom. We can hardly remember all of our relatives and friends sometimes, and yet God knows all of how many billions of people are on earth now, 6 or 7 billion? How can that be? But we have puny minds, human minds, and God is God. He knows what we're going through. He has a plan for us. He's guiding us all the time towards more wisdom, fulfillment for what we yearn for. So how do we get ready for all of this as we do in the Advent season, a time of watching and waiting and preparing? Well, during the Roman Empire, rulers rode from city to city for the purpose of making official visitations. And their appearance, of course, was a great event for the people they were visiting. It was usually preceded by months of preparation for his coming. And Christ is our emperor, we could say, and this Christmas he wants to make a special visit to our souls, and Advent is our preparation time. Echoing the prophecy of Isaiah, St. John tells us that preparing the way of the Lord, St. John the Baptist, that is, preparing the way of the Lord means making straight his paths. And one of the things that the ancient cities would do to get ready for an official visit was to fix the roads, to literally make straight the path that the person coming to visit was going to take so that his journey would be more pleasurable and pleasant. And so those are the three roads that Jesus uses to enter Jerusalem for us. There are three roads that Jesus uses. The first road is prayer, and that's kind of obvious. So many times God is trying to give us guidance and light, but because we don't spend time in prayer, we miss out. We miss out on those promptings of the Holy Spirit. We have lots of things to help us pray in the Advent season. We have the little blue books, and we sold out all of them, and that's a good thing to happen. I hope you're using them, a daily way of preparing for our Lord, preparing our hearts. There's all sorts of information on formed.org, which our parish subscribes to every year so that everyone in our parish has access to thousands of opportunities on form.org to grow in our faith. There's learning opportunities, there's movies, there's things from three-year-olds for 103-year-olds on form.org. All sorts of things Catholic that we can use there to help us pray. The second road is the sacraments. And you know, sometimes in personal prayer, we're unsure of God's presence. Some people say, I wonder if God is even hearing my prayers. But in the sacraments, Christ guarantees that he is truly present. That's the beauty of the sacraments. And during Advent, we can spend some time with Christ in the Eucharist, perhaps going to a daily Mass as well as a weekend Mass to receive Holy Communion more frequently, praying before the Blessed Sacrament in our Adoration Chapel or the nearby Adoration Chapels that other parishes have. During Advent, making a good confession is always a good thing. Most people do. It helps to make a good confession. And remember, this afternoon at 3 o'clock, we are having our communal penance service along with some of the people from Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Every year, it's our tradition in our cluster of our two parishes that we host here at Immaculate Conception the Advent prayer service, as we will today here in our church at 3 o'clock. And then in Lent, we go to their church, usually on Palm Sunday at Our Lady of Mount Carmel. But today it's here at 3 o'clock in our church. I said that three times. They say you have to say something seven times before people really hear you, but I won't say it another four times, except at the end of Mass, I promise. The third road that Jesus uses to enter our hearts is the road of other people. Advent should be a time when we, as Christian messengers, reach out to others, to those who don't know Christ, for those who are suffering, for those who have given up their practice of the faith, whoever it might be. And as we reach out to them, we too come closer to Christ. You know, another way we reach out is to help those who are less fortunate than us, than ourselves. Our Giving Tree is a good example, because Giving Tree is really, you don't even know who you're giving that gift to, do you? But you buy a gift for someone who is in need. And the Giving Tree has really caught on, I think, for the Christmas season. It's not just churches who do it, but schools do it. And even, I'm not talking about Catholic schools, all schools seem to do something like that. Businesses do. It's a wonderful opportunity to open our hearts to help others by gifting. And that kind of is what the true spirit of Christmas is supposed to be. And so including charitable giving in our Christmas spending is another good way of helping others. And so this second Sunday of Advent, we focus on St. John the Baptist, and we imitate him in preparing the way of the Lord.